brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast and radio show. Yes, indeed, still a radio show. And hello, good people of Clonakilty and Clonline Radio. I hope you are doing fantastic on this wonderful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon. Delete as appropriate. It's beautiful, wet, dry, middling, fair to middling, sunny, snowy, hailstone weather. Yeah. Is that okay, lads? All good. Okay, well, let's sidetrack ever so slightly on to today's guest. Well, not so much today's guest. We'll get to that in just a minute. But let's sidetrack to where it actually is and just what it means to go there. Because when I went to West Cork to do the entire of the West Cork Garden Trail, to see personally all of those gardens, how do I phrase this? Did you ever shake hands with somebody and you kind of turn around and go, did they really want to shake hands with me? Not for Peter to pick on the negatives, not in any way. But do you ever meet somebody who you shake hands with and you kind of go, jeez, I'd love to, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I've just heard Hendrix playing in the background whilst you're holding two glasses of Milton Very Rare with two lumps of ice. You could have 49 arms and flippers for feet. I want to write you poetry. You are this. I have to spend the rest of my life with you. No? Well, let me translate that into gardens. And when the owner welcomes you with open arms, when that handshake is put forward, when you fall in love with a space, when you fall in love with a place, when you never want to leave, on the darkest days when it's raining, when the sun is shining, when you want to bring other people there. Pause. Now, how about this? When they hear those other people, in this case, in brackets, two of my friends, Anthony McGuinness and Darren Byrne, hear the episodes that were aired, which was Serge de Thibault from Bamboo Park, Tony O'Mahony, who was on from Inishbeg Estate, and our good friends at Glenview Gardens, David and Mary Tanner. And they were the ones who said, can we go camping in Ireland in the middle of October, and will you bring us to see these places that we have heard you talk about? Now, I don't know what other people hear when they hear the sideshow. For me, it's just me having a chat. But when that kind of gets you and you're willing to put your money essentially where your heart is and say, Peter, please take us there. We have done something good. We've done something for the greater. And that is quite beautiful when you think about it. Right. Let's get to nice bits. Nice bits and a smack in the hand for Peter. Because the Sideshow Christmas Soiree was noted, I did note it previously, as Friday, December the 9th. Bold Peter, bad Peter. Peter made a boo-boo, which is also a cartoon character for those of you who are from the 80s. The Sideshow Christmas Soiree now takes place on December the 10th in McGrattan's in Dublin. I also noted that the dress attire should be the Sideshow T-shirt, official merchandise T-shirt, gotsideshow.com. You'll see the icon on the right-hand side. As by the way, they take about 12 days for delivery. So if you don't and you can't get one of them, that's fine. Get a white T-shirt and just write it with a permanent marker or lipstick or a highline marker, depending on if you're marking a football pitch that day. Face for radio, 8:30, Saturday, Dublin City Centre, couple of pints of Guinness, McGrattan's. I'll be there. Fiona Kelly will be there. The Bloom Fringe Girls will be there. You'll be there. That's like Hendrix, Led Zepp, and the Stones, and Dylan, all meet. My phone's still going, man. Except in this case, it's me and you. Can you get better than that? Can you? No. Okay, finally, here's the last bit. Let's get to today's guest. Ladies and gentlemen, from West Cork, on Bantry House, very wonderful Brigitte Shelswell-White.
My name is Brigitte Schelswil-Weidt, and I'm Austrian, and I came to Ireland about 38 years ago.
This is a really easy question, but for those who don't know, your house or your home, where do you live?
I live in Bantry House. It is my late husband's family home, and he died about 3 years ago, and ever since I'm running it with my children. I've stepped back a lot. I'm more or less retired now, and my daughter Sophie is the manager, and then I have a son called Sam, and he is looking after the grounds and the mechanics of the place.
I met Sam this morning. He was out throwing the ball for the dog.
That's Sam, yes. He has a little dog called Daisy. Yeah. And she's only 3 months, and we have to watch her so she doesn't jump up on every tourist that comes in.
How beautiful is Bantry House? And number one, there's obviously the view towards the sea. But number two, then you've got the reason I am here, really, which is the gardens. But then every time I walk around, it just gets more and more beautiful.
Well, it is an exceptional location, of course, overlooking the sea, and you have the island and the mountains behind. So the island is with the island, and then there are a few other small islands. And the mountains are beyond. And so It feels a bit like a lake, but it isn't. It's a bay, and the house overlooks it all. The house is the gardens are very cleverly designed because they're terraced gardens, and from wherever you are, you never see the road. That was the idea, because when they built the road, the second Earl was very disappointed and had to design a garden so he would cut out the road, and he managed beautifully. Nowhere can you see the road. There are seven terraces. On the very top, you have the most magnificent view, and then you come down the terraces from the steps, and each level is a different experience, really. The house, has steps in it and landings, so it corresponds with the terraces. Mm. And there's a rhythm to it, which is very lovely.
I noticed whilst I was having breakfast, I was honoured and privileged to stay here, and thank you so much, by the way. But when I was sitting down at the breakfast table, I had queried yesterday why I won't call it a roundabout, but the central circle of planting at the front of the house was raised. And it's only when I sat at the breakfast table and looked out through the view that I saw the piece of art, the sculpt, and the tree behind it was also raised, and I hadn't really considered that until I came inside and saw that view going back out.
It's a clever design, the whole thing, and we were lucky. There are restrictions when you have a garden that is a historical garden, because you can't do much of your own. But the advantage is that the design is there. You don't have to be terribly clever. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's all there. You just have to go with it. And we did that. We tried to do that. So you have what you call the roundabout, which it is. Or we call it Diana's bed, because the goddess in the middle is the goddess Diana. Facing east towards the deer park that was. We don't have deer anymore. So the planting is a modern planting. We had a garden designer who designed it like that, and that's now, 15 years ago. So I'm sort of itching to change it again, to make a different design, a more strict design. We also have a drawing for that, so we'll see. It's a good bed, though, because it can look after itself in a way, and we are limited with labor. We don't have as much labor as we would wish to have. So there's a certain wildness in the garden, because simply we can't keep up with it. Weeds never stop growing, and we don't use weed killer. So even on the pathways. So now we have found salt, salt that you use against ice. A nurseryman told me about that, so we try that. But it's slow, of course, and there's a lot of weeds on the pathways. But nobody wants to use weed killer anymore, so we don't. Anyway,
let's go to the history of the house. It's got a long and a slightly checkered, as with all old estates that exist, in particular in Ireland, because Ireland has its own checkered past as well. What is the history to Bantry House?
Well, I'll make it quick. Bantry House was the home of the Earls of Bantry. Every time they got bigger and more powerful or richer, the house got bigger, obviously, and they had a lot of land. There was about 60,000 acres of land attached to the house. So it was the whole of County Cork and everything. The land wasn't terrific, not very, very good, but still was land. So with the famine, society changed totally for everybody, not only for the poor. So it was there was a total change, and the people in the big houses, I think, must have realized that the way of life they knew would be coming to an end. And then it came to an end with the introduction of the Land Acts. And once the Land Acts were there, the tenant could buy the land with the help of the government, of the British government, of course, and the landlord had no chance to refuse, because he had no money anyway. He was already starving after the famine. And so he lost his land. He sold it. And then you had in Ireland, I think, you had the Land Commission, which was the end of the land ownership for many landowners. Now, this family was what's called the Old English, I think. They came with the Normans. So they were not settlers from the 16th century. They were never given land. They bought everything. So when they lost it, they lost it. You know, it was land they had worked for, paid for, and lost. So the houses had to realize that they had to work for themselves. There was no more income. And the family in this house, I think, realized that very soon. And with the Civil War, when there was no hospital in Bantry because it was burnt down, the house became a hospital for the Civil War victims, for everybody. And then in the Second World War, it became a station for the Irish Army, who was neutral but helped Britain in that they were looking out if Hitler was going to land. So those two events made the house into a more public place anyway. The privacy was gone, and the financial the finance was gone. There was no more income. People had to live. So in 1946, my mother-in-law and her husband and my father-in-law opened the house to the public, and it's been open so now for 70 years to the paying public. And of course, there weren't so many people then. Now there are more. In the 90s, there were more than now. My husband took over in 1978 when his mother died. I happened to be in Ireland, pure chance, and we then got married in 1981.
That's 3 years. So you met him in 78?
I met him in 78. We got married in 81.
Who moved faster? Did he fall in love with you? Did you fall in love? Because that's pretty quick. I couldn't marry an Irish girl in 3 years after meeting her.
Of course you could.
you can?
People do. No, in 78 we didn't fall in love. No, we met. So we did. We met and we then got married and decided to obviously work together here. And we then... And then you get into it in a funny way that you get terribly attached. I got very, very attached to the house to the exclusion of pretty well many other things. You know, it was family and house, and there was no time left for anything else. And, as I said, in 3 years ago he died, and times were difficult, always difficult. There was never enough money, and there can't be enough money unless you are Rockefeller or somebody like that. And the economic downturn, the financial crisis, was devastating for us, because of course the bank, we always used to work with the bank, and that was finished. And the winter is long, no income in the winter, and we always needed the bank to help us to start again in the spring. And that was finished. And so we ended up with debts and no help. But I must say, my children, my daughter and her husband, who's an accountant, have actually managed in the last 5 years, 2 years before my husband died, and now to bring us back on track. And there are less tourists than there were 15 years ago, in that me personally, I don't have to worry about money. I used to worry all my life about money, all my married life about money, about how will we do this and that. I don't anymore. They have a program, they have a budget, they have it organized. And there's, I don't know how much, but there's a little bit of money in the bank. You know, I mean, it's okay.
But that starts to show. So I've been and seen and worked with and designed for older estates in my career as, I guess, Peter Donegan and what I do for a living. And what you tend to find is there is always that kind of a chicken and egg scenario between putting the money in and reinvesting. And even you noted about the design of the front and, you know, every 15 years. And I honestly believe, and people who I know in the trade say, look, every 10, 15 years, if you don't, and the famous quote from one of the heads of the Botanic Gardens in Dublin is, if you don't change your landscape every 10 to 15 years, that's not wipe the whole thing out, but edit it and revamp it. Nature will do that for you. It starts to become old and it starts to become aged. So, but you still need that investment of money. So it's great to see that it's starting to kind of turn.
But there is, of course, I mean, you see, the garden is one thing. The house, when you look around, bits of everything is in need of repair. Every single aspect. Also, the furniture in the house needs to be repaired. The pictures, everything needs to be repaired. Luckily, I managed to, it's a bit convoluted, but anyway, I managed to get in touch with German University, with the University of Stuttgart. They have a conservation department, and we have organized that they send students and a tutor, and they're here now, to start restoring the worst cases that we have. So this is miraculous. And so the students are here, 3 students, 1 tutor and his daughter. They have started to work on a picture frames, the big frames in the library, the leather on the doors, all things that are falling to bits, and they are experts, and they will come again. And so they're here now in August. In September, a new group is coming, 5 students, 1 tutor, the director of the institute, next year more. And so if that is ongoing, I don't worry anymore, because it restoration can go on for 20, 50 years. I don't care. I don't have to live to see the end of it. But it's in there's a progress, you know.
But isn't that the thing with be it gardens or be it estates or be it even a 3-bedroom house in, you know, Wimbledon or in the UK or Ballyboll in North County Dublin, you clean the windows, you paint the front of the house, and then you turn around the following week and you realise, oh sugar, I should have cut the grass last week, and then the weeds start to grow, and then you need to clean the windows again, and then before you realise it's Christmas time, and this is the same kind of principle. It's just bigger.
It's bigger, and we have we are lucky that we are open to the public in that we can get some money in. But of course, the downside is that people can be more critical. They say, I've paid a tenner, I've paid 11 euro, now I don't want to see plaster falling down, I didn't come to see weeds in the gravel. That can happen too. But I'm afraid we have to live with that.
But that's I always saw that as why is that way? Why did it happen? It's a part of the history. It's almost like when I this is probably the wrong place, but I don't know. I've got a guitar that has scratches on it, and I can tell you where all the scratches came from. And it's an old battered guitar, yeah. And I don't want to change it because this one has the history. There's a reason why things, money stopped being put into something for 20, maybe 10 or 15 or 5 years, which achieved the end result that you kind of have now. It's part of the story, because then you get a resurgence, and you, as you rightly said, your daughter and her husband come on, and there's a new wave of things start to happen. But the gardens, to your credit, and the house and the bedrooms, and we'll get to that in a second, they are magnificent, and it is literally magnificent in every way. And I know there are things that could be always perfect or more perfect, but it's a, like a characteristic now.
They're snags, and no one knows them better than us. You know, I go around, I see all, I don't see the good necessarily. I see all the shortcomings, oh my God, this should be done, that should be done. But it is, it, the house is doing a job still. It's still working. It's a tired old lady maybe, but it's still working. And it attracts people, tourists, it gives, it employs some. So it's managing, and it will only get better. And now with that new energy of my own young family and those young restorers who are wide-eyed running around saying, this is magic, because they have actually, they can actually work somewhere that's real, you know, not in a, it's not a sealed-off environment. It's it's a living house.
Well, you call it a tired old lady. I'd call it a beautiful woman is what I would call it. I'd call it Ella Fitzgerald with your eyes closed drinking Middleton Very Rare. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And if she's a tired old lady, I'll happily spend the rest of my life with her.
Yeah. Well, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. If that's how it is, that it couldn't be better.
Yeah. No. Let's go to this, because you hit the nail on the head. You've got the beautiful gardens. And believe me, I'll at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow.com. I'll give you all the links, etc., etc., and the show notes will be there. But more than that, I've got a 1-2-part little clink of a video, which is the back part of the house and also the front part of the house. And you have got to see. I mean, if you wanted to woo a lady, old school, put on the Ella Fitzgerald, buy the Middleton Very Rare, don't bring a bottle of 10 euro wine. This is at a level. And ask a woman to marry you. This is the place to come, where it is just magic. Yeah. So let's say, for those who are listening to this in Wimbledon in the UK, in North County Dublin, who turn around and go, Peter, I'm sold. I've put the wife, the children have gone to the mother-in-law. We're on the boat, we're on the train, we're heading down to Cork. Number one, how do I get to here by, let's say, train, car? You're not too, it's not that long of a drive anymore anyway.
It's an hour and a half from Cork. Okay. So you come down to from Dublin or from Rosslare, wherever you come from. Cork is an hour and a half. You go the, not the road to Clonakilty, because that's the long road. So go Bandon, Dunmanway, Drimulig, Bantry. That's the quick road. The I think it's the N71 or something. I never know, but the national road is to take you to Clonakilty and Skibbereen. Well, we have guests who come to us when they're American. They look at the map, they say, well, we'll go N71. And then they go a very long way, and by the time they come to us, they're very, very bad-tempered because they got lost, and they realized then that they made a detour.
That's not very good if you want to ask a woman to marry you, is it? No, but that's a bad-tempered woman and a bad... Just take the goddamn ring, will you? Yeah, no.
I've had a fight, you see. And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, what happened? And we always know, this is what happened.
Yeah, and he wouldn't ask for directions, would he? You think he'd stop and ask for directions? No.
So this is difficult. So go Bandon. Cork, Bandon, Drimulig, Dunmanway, Bantry, and then you're here.
Okay, if you're lucky enough and there is a vacancy here, you can stay in one of the beautiful, and they are exquisite. I had two single beds last night, which is just an entirely different reason for that. That's okay. But the views out of the, I would pay nearly to go into the bedroom to look out the view to the gardens. It's magnificent. Yeah. Do I ask him, much does that cost? What's the available? Is that 52 weeks of the year?
No, sadly not. We wish it was. We wish we were open in the winter, but there aren't people coming. This area is dead in the winter, and we are all trying to invent, to do something to attract more tourists. For at least for the shoulder month, or for the maybe January we can do without, but until Christmas it would be great if we could still have guests. Yeah. But it ends with the end of October. And then there would be maybe one or two of the odd stragglers, but you would need more than that, you know.
Okay, so the season is what, January, Feb?
The season starts at Patrick's Weekend or Easter and goes until the end of October.
Okay, the gardens are obviously open around about that as well.
The gardens are open in a way all year. We lock the gates, but there's a little wicket gate one can get in. And we have an honesty box, so hopefully somebody puts some money in. But but the gardens are open, definitely open until the end of October, and the houses too.
If I was to come from my mate Ben Brace, who's in London, and he decided he's coming here, he's going to stay, what's the best thing to do? Book in for 2 days. You've got a magic wand, and Ben has a magic pot of money. Yeah, he's very in love, but he wants to come here. What's the best thing to do? Do you need 2 days to do Bantry House, to stay here?
Not really, but it's nicer if you do 2 days, because if you come in the evening, you want to go out to eat on the first night, and then you have the whole day the next day and the evening again, which is nice. I would say 2 days is perfect. 3 days is even better. 1 day is good, whatever you can do.
You're part of the West Cork Garden Trail. How important is West Cork Garden Trail to West Cork, number one, but also to Bantry House and Gardens?
It's a wonderful thing. And it started, I forget now how many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, possibly. And ever since, we all got closer together, and our places are open. Sometimes the members change, but on the whole, there's a core membership. It's fascinating for people to see such a variety of gardens, seaside gardens and stately home garden, and then a little bungalow with a garden, and all exquisitely well done. Passionate people who own them. So it brings tourists. And the area does need more tourism, and it's doing that. It's organized by two very dedicated people who spend an awful lot of time just getting it all presented and done. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
The gardens to visit, if you want to come do it, it is higher than highly recommended. The house, if you want to book in, that is obviously true, Bantry House. Anything you're listening to this, don't even stop walking. And I know a lot of you are on the commute listening to this in the morning time or on the way home, but just send us a note at Sideshow on Twitter or Google Bantry House and Gardens, and I'll put you directly in touch with the lads. Believe me, you have got to come here, if not just to visit the gardens. And if you're blessed enough and lucky enough, you'll get to stay here. Brigitte, thank you so much for having me as your guest. Thank you, it was Peter. Wonderful.
Thank you, Pete. It was lovely to meet you and lovely to have you here. Come again.
I will.
The romance.
I was thinking about what you could do for winter, and then I had a light bulb moment in my head, and I thought if I stayed here for December, the tourists would just...
They would come.
They would come,
wouldn't
they?
Yes. They would come.
Brigitte, thank you so much.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Thank you.
And that is it for another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. And what a treat that was. My huge thanks to Bev and Miriam of West Cork Garden Trail for making that one happen. To Brigitte and her family for the welcome that they gave me. And let me just break this one down for you. In West Cork's case, we aired an interview with Tony O'Mahony from Inishbeg. You can go back and listen to that. With David Tanner, his wife Mary is behind the scenes working on the garden there as well, from Glenview Gardens. We had Bamboo Park, Serge de Thibault. But it was based on those interviews and me saying to the lads, Tony and Darren, my good friends, you've got to hear these. You've got to meet these people, this welcome. I can't explain it to you. It's like falling in love. It's a welcome. It comes from the heart. And we went camping in the middle of October, stayed at Eagle Point campsite for 3 nights, and we had a ball. And I'm just so grateful that they saw it was genuine, and the Sideshow microphone didn't make a journey on this occasion. But ticket, yeah. Oh, separate note, Nadia has just bought a green t-shirt. Fiona bought blue. My friend Adrian bought green. They've just told me on Twitter. It appears we shall see you at the ball. December the 10th at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow, and Sideshow.com for the entire back catalogue. Don't forget to leave a rate and review on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, West Cork. You were, as you are, So very, very beautiful. Carmel Margaret, Sloan, take care. Bye-bye.